What do you think would happen if an atheist girl wears a hijab? Would it be prevented or would it be declared as freedom? Let's say that obviously she was not doing it because of Islam, but because she liked how it looked or because of some kind of problem with her hair. Imagine if that was stopped or if the state stepped in and marginalized that person. Everyone would be against that, right? So why do people oppose and governments stand up against a woman who wants to wear hijab for Islamic reasons? If she has found her philosophy of life and how to interpret her purpose in this world through Islam, why would she be stopped from dressing accordingly? Unfortunately, in many parts of the world, people have lost their tolerance for the hijab. So where's the value given to freedom and thought? Recently, a news went viral. In France, the wearing of abayas in schools will be banned for students under the age of 18. The Minister of Education told the school principals that he will make clear decisions before the schools open.
Nous devons faire bloc et nous allons faire bloc. L'abaya n'a pas sa place dans nos écoles.
So what is the explanation, the reason for this ban? The same minister says, when you walk into a classroom, you shouldn't be able to identify the student's religion just by looking at them. It doesn't look like a sincere explanation. The underlying bad intention is clear: to suppress a belief through pressure that cannot be intellectually defeated. But above all, there's another detail here. The hijab does not show a person's religious views 100%. A Christian, a Jew, or anyone else can wear it too. It's a personal preference. If you ask me, even an atheist can wear it. Atheist? Yes, because the covering is at the same time something natural. It's an innate inclination of women. Today, we're going to prove this very clearly in four parts. At the most basic level, hijab means, as commanded by Allah, covering certain parts of the body. It should also prevent the body curves from being exposed. The main issue we're going to discuss is not whether it's difficult for someone or not, but whether the fitrah, our natural disposition, requires it or not. So if you have a prejudice in your mind, I ask you to put it aside for a while. I want you to see the logic, the purpose of Islam's perspective. According to 2020 statistics, $16.7 billion was spent on cosmetic procedures in the US. I don't know what this statistic means to you, but what it means to me is that there are countless women out there who don't think they are beautiful enough. Social media or modern culture has presented us with a perception of beauty that says you are beautiful as long as you fit the criteria I set. But in reality, very few women look like the ones in photos or on TV with those heavy makeup. This perception of beauty is far from reality. Therefore, when a woman is exposed to this, she starts to feel ugly and insufficient. Imagine a girl growing up with a toy like a Barbie doll with an exaggerated physique. A perception of beauty far from reality was formed in her mind. Then she starts to think that this false beauty perception was real while watching those movies and TV series. Then she grows up and starts using social media. There, she also sees people who do not look the way they really are. Over the years, she forms a standard of beauty in her mind. And when she compares herself to it, she thinks she is ugly. In this case, she has two choices. One, she will think that everyone who looks at her thinks she is ugly and she will be affected psychologically. And many people get into depression in this way. Two, to avoid being considered ugly, she will uncover herself as much as possible. She will start dressing up in a revealing way. She will live for fashion, not for herself. She will start to corrupt her fitrah for the looks and opinions of others and sacrifice her values. She will make long preparations before leaving the house. She might also begin to change some parts of her body through surgery if she has the opportunity. There are many examples of both cases. So which one will she choose? She doesn't have to choose one or the other. There are perceptions that some people have drawn and imposed on her, and she shouldn't feel bad about them and be a slave to those people's desires and wishes. By falling into this trap, they put themselves in danger of being stared at and exposed to dirty looks of men. We will discuss this in more detail later. In conclusion, the lack of a concept like hijab plays a big part in this. At this point, Islam says to women, you are superior and above anyone's judgment of whether you are beautiful or not. Allah created you in a special, unique beauty. If a woman wears the hijab, in a way, she declares that I don't have to fit into the standards of others. Only one person, my life partner, my husband, should love me and find me beautiful. She will live her life not for the opinions of others, but for Allah. There are three things that family counselors and marriage therapists say are essential for a marriage: trust, love, and respect. A woman's nature is to seek a man with whom she feels peaceful, happy, and secure. Likewise, a man wants to trust his wife, build a loving relationship, and be happy. To maintain the happiness of the family, this bond must not get damaged. Family counselors also emphasize this. There must be mutual loyalty and trust to prevent any harm to the marriage. This is where Islam offers the solution of covering for both parties. In the 30th ayah of Surah An-Nur, Allah says, "Tell believing men to lower their glances and guard their private parts. That is purer for them. Allah is well aware of everything they do." In other words, the first covering is the eyelids of men. And in the next ayah, women are commanded to cover themselves. It's a double protection. Allah is taking a measure to protect the institution of family and the happiness within it. Today, there's a battle going on behind the scenes against these two types of coverings. So what happens when these are removed from a family? The trust and loyalty that we're talking about starts to get damaged over time. They begin to corrupt from the inside without anyone noticing. In the nature of every woman, there's a tendency to make herself look beautiful and to receive praise. And if a woman with this tendency goes out without a hijab, the desire to be praised for her beauty will come into play. And this can make her live her entire life just to be praised and admired. So she will spend her days outside with clothes that reveal her beauty, with her hair done, her makeup, and her accessories. What percentage of men do you think says, "That might be someone's wife, I shouldn't be looking at her"? Let a social experiment from a few years ago give us the answer for this. A woman walked in the streets of New York City in a revealing outfit for 5 hours. As a result of the experiment, she was verbally harassed 108 times. There were also many people looking at her with openly bad intentions. But there's something very interesting about the rest of the experiment. The same woman walks around the same city, but now in hijab for 5 hours. What is the result? Nobody looks at her the way she was looked at in the first case. Yes, this is a reality that corrupts the family. And whether the spouses realize it or not, it's slowly damaging the loyalty and trust between them from the inside. With jealousy and broken trust, loyalty and peace are corrupted internally. A husband will never accept that someone should stare at his wife, verbally harass her, hurt her, break her heart, or upset her. He's jealous and possessive. It's in his nature. For a woman, it's in her nature to want her husband to only be interested in her and not look at other women in a desiring way. These two feelings of jealousy and protecting each other from others can be satisfied if only both of them follow the commandments of the hijab. But let's now imagine the other way around. If both spouses were careful with their protection, what would be the difference? The social experiment tells us that a woman should save her beauty for her husband and her husband alone, as a true sign of loyalty. Her husband will not worry if others are looking at her. In the same way, if a man pays attention to his eyes, he will be showing his loyalty to his wife in a certain way. It will leave no doubt in her mind, like, is he looking at someone else? Is there someone else in his life? She will not feel uncomfortable thinking about this. She will not have any uncomfortable thoughts like these. So the absence of this faithfulness and trust means that the eyes are now turned outward. It means that the ground is being set for the breakdown of the family. There's some very serious data that we came across while researching this subject. I will also mention them later as well. There's a research by the famous organization General Social Survey, GSS. A research on the rates of cheating between 2010 and 2016, and the results are horrible. Among the married couples that are surveyed, 20% of men and 13% of women were found to be cheating. In other words, there is infidelity in almost 1 out of every 4 families. Again, the same study says that 40% of these cheating couples got divorced afterwards. Isn't a 6-year study and these results are scary enough? This shows that not paying attention to covering for both parties hurts the family. Also, the psychology of cheating is very different. Not everyone who does it can hide it. I'm not talking about getting caught. Health testing centers conducted a survey of 441 subjects in 2021, and 47.7% of those who cheated on their spouses confessed it in a week. Also, 26.6% waited a month. In other words, out of regret, it cannot be hidden. It comes out somehow, and then it leads to divorce or to wounds that cannot be healed. Would this result really have occurred if an entire country had paid attention to both types of coverings and kept their bodies and eyes away from anyone other than their spouses? I leave the judgment to you. The famous boxer Muhammad Ali, explaining the hijab to his daughter, said, "Every valuable thing that Allah created in the world is covered and hard to get to. Where do you find diamonds? Deep down in the ground, covered and protected. Where do we find pearls? Deep down at the bottom of the ocean, covered up and protected in a beautiful shell. Where do you find gold? Way down in the mine, covered over with layers and layers of rock. You've got to work hard to get to them. Your body is sacred. You're far from precious than diamonds and pearls. That's why you should be covered too. You should be protected." A hijab is what protects a woman from being easily accessible. A hijab makes a woman valuable. No one can see even a single hair on her head without her permission. Remember the social experiment on the streets of New York? When a woman walking down the street was not covered, she was subjected to stares of dozens of people. She faced disgusting looks. But when she walked around with the hijab on, she showed who the actual owner of her body was. She gave the message that she's not just made of flesh, but it's actually her soul that makes her valuable. Remember we said at the beginning that there are two different coverings, one for women and one for men. When both sides do not follow this rule, they attract each other like the two sides of a magnet, and the order in the world begins to turn upside down. Sexual desires turn into actions, into illegitimate relationships, into perversions, and then even into crimes. Men and women both have a responsibility here, and when both of them don't observe the rulings, the blame goes to both of them. No one can deny that when both sides fail to protect themselves, the real value of women is forgotten and ignored. And unfortunately, women start to be seen only as sexual objects. Here, I'm not saying only this group is guilty. Both sides are disobeying the rulings about covering. Women and men both trigger each other and terrible results come out. But unfortunately, it's the women who have to bear the consequences the most. Let's look at this reality with other data. According to a study conducted by the CDC, in 2020, nearly 500,000 abortions were performed in the USA, and 86% of these pregnancies were outside of marriage. In 1 year, 400,000 people are killed in one country because of illegitimate relationships. Of course, this is a very difficult decision for a woman. That's why most of the time, the birth takes place. According to a study by the same organization, in 2021, from illegitimate relationships, there have been 1.4 million births in the United States of America alone. The mother alone carries the child, takes care of him, and tries to raise him for years. And in this process, there's no supportive father by her side. Imagine the mental state of the mother in that situation, and imagine the mental state of a child growing up without a father. And the prevention of this, again, depends on the two commandments of the Quran that we have mentioned. When Prophet Muhammad ﷺ talks about the end of times, the signs of the apocalypse, he gives a sign like this. There will be 40 women for every man. Of course, there's an analogy here. The meaning of this hadith has been explained, but there's another meaning that is happening right before our eyes. When both parties do not follow the rulings about covering, the demand for marriage decreases. When a man looks at hundreds of different women, he corrupts his nature, and when a woman is exposed to many eyes over time, she damages her soul. This is actually the consequence of the three things we mentioned before. Let's think of it this way. Men whose morals have been corrupted by not protecting themselves don't want to commit themselves to one woman. They see it as a limitation. And because his perception of beauty has been distorted, he cannot find what he wants in one woman, so he does not want to commit himself to anyone. Also, because he cannot trust people, he doesn't want to have a serious relationship. He spends time with different women all the time. We hear a lot about people who flirt with several people at the same time, don't we? Think about how many girls this person will have a relationship with in his lifetime. But the woman's soul is looking for one man whom she can fully trust, connect with, and rely on. If she doesn't look for that man within the boundaries set by Allah, she always comes across such men. Now, if you connect these two realities, doesn't the current situation fit with the expression 40 women for one man? A man thinks living like this will make him happy, but he doesn't realize that he is dirtying and hurting his heart by distancing himself from the halal circle that Allah gave him. And these wounds in his heart might even prevent him from being fully happy in his marriage in the future. Neither the man who looks at these 40 women, nor the person who is one of these 40 women, can find complete peace. And it's again the women who suffer the most. So Islam promises to prevent many disasters just with its two commandments. Like these 4 points, many more things can be counted. But all of them shows us this. Hijab is not just an ordinary commandment. It's both inherent in the nature of men and women. It's something that we are naturally inclined to do. It's a wise, logical, and beneficial commandment of Allah, who created the heavens and the earth from nothing, who created human beings and all the features of their bodies. The one who creates a thing knows its best, and the one who has the best say about it is the one who knows it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created us, has given us commandments about covering and protection in the Quran, could it be that He did this so that we become unhappy? Or He did so for the peace and happiness that we have been seeking for years but couldn't find? Once again, we understand that if humanity does not value the commandments of Islam, let alone treat the cause of their unhappiness, they will not even be able to diagnose it. As for the country that started all these discussions, whether you are France or any other country, you cannot stand against the fitrah by banning the hijab. When it comes to talking, you emphasize the importance of freedoms, but in reality, you restrict people's freedoms. So you don't really want freedom, but only the freedom of your own ideas. No matter what you do, you will not be able to stand against Islam.